Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 78 of the Disney Brit podcast for Wednesday the 12th of October. Joining me as always is Juz. Hello, Juz.
My computer says 10th. Oh, no, Monday the 10th.
Does it?
Something up with my PC, you know.
Time warp,
I'm always a couple of days out. Anyway, hello, Disney pod people, and hello, Adam pod personage.
And hello, Disney Moms panel second rounder, Craig.
Hello, fellow Disney Mums panelists. Yeah, you know, this might be just a fleeting visit for me.
Fellow Disney Mums panelists. Hang on, you're not on yet.
Yeah, I know. Well, you never know. And I say, you know, I might not be on anymore. I might be far too busy. I might be talking to my mates Lou and Ricky.
Do you ever remember Les Dawson and Roy Barraclough?
I remember Les Dawson.
Yeah. And Roy Barraclough, the two women over the fence.
Yeah.
That, in my mind, is how I see Craig as a Disney Mum. Just pushing him up and get, oh, yes, oh. You're going to Walt Disney World.
I'd take the modern approach. I'd be the Home Improvement over the fence.
Yeah, okay.
Tim and Wilson or whatever his name was. It Wilson?
Wilson.
Yeah.
He was also a basketball, wasn't he?
Yes.
In Castaway.
He was. You're right. Wow, look at us with random trivia knowledge.
So, yeah, very exciting times in the Duncan house.
Yeah, well, basically, for those of you who don't know, Mum's panel stuff's been going on. Those people who put in their first round found out this week whether or not they got through to the second round.
I didn't get through.
Craig,
you know why you didn't get through? Because I put my application. I beat him at Disney trivia.
Did you? Okay, you cheated. Yeah,
no, it's because Disney hate Adam.
There is that as well. And people got emails to say yes or no, and Craig got a yes. What have you got to do for round two?
Okay, so round two, I had to log on to the Disney Mum website this morning. Well, actually, it was American morning, so our afternoon, it was 2 o'clock, and it was a long wait. There's four more questions I need to answer in less than 100 words, and then I need to submit a 60-second video.
Okay.
Talking all about kind of Disney and my memories and all those sorts of things. So, you know, I'm one of these people that I can't just sit there. If somebody asks me to do something and do it, I have to have eureka moments where things come to me. And, you know, I had an idea about this and it came to me, and I've been working on that with a very helpful friend of mine.
Thank you.
And and we're getting there. We've just got to do, you know, hopefully we'll get this podcast out of the way because it's actually interfering with my recording and my video. I need to do a new kind of bit of voiceover for it. But, yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, you know, I'd absolutely love the opportunity. You know, joking aside, it would be a great thing to do. It's something that, you know, I'm very passionate about. I think hopefully I could bring something to it. But, you know, there's lots of good people that go on there. I think Emma from the UK has been an outstanding member. I think Joe was very good from the UK before. So, you know, let's represent the UK. Let's do a bit of maleness on there because we haven't had any chats from the UK before. And as Kelly Rowland said, let me get it down.
Who said that?
She said it on X Factor, which I'm not very happy about this year, but we'll move on to that.
I don't watch X Factor.
Yeah, I have to endure it, but I don't watch it. So I don't know how.
I don't endure it or watch it.
It's terrible, terrible telly, and it needs to 2.5 hours of my Saturday night. It just isn't good enough. Anyway, Craig's doing that, so we wish him luck with his video and all those bits and pieces, and we'll follow his little journey through the Mum's panel and find out whether or not he really does suit pink. Who knows?
Do you know what will be interesting, though? Sorry. The next round, they say there will be a telephone interview the first week in November. Well, I hope they've got a phone on the Disney Dream, because that's where I'll be.
Listen to him.
I think it should be a proper round, as in you have to go in and you have to fight.
Arm wrestle, thumb wars.
No, it's a proper fight, wrestle, and either a pin or something like that, and then you move on to the next one.
So they're not just like, dude, like, what you mean, like world's strongest man, that sort of thing? It should be the first. Who can eat a turkey leg the quickest?
A little bloke like me would lose that, though.
The amount, how many Dole Whips can you eat in a minute, that sort of stuff, without getting brain freeze. See, that'd be a great challenge. That's what you want to try. Since the last show was out, to let you know, Mouse Mag issue 4 is now available. You can find that over on magcloud.com, and you can also find it on the MagCloud app for the iPad. So go over and grab it from there. Anything else we need to share with people that I've totally forgotten about? Or is what? Go on.
Magic Kingdom's renamed its car parks.
Yeah, Magic Kingdom has renamed its car parks. They're now heroes and villains. Skype's changed again, apparently. So Duncan's just told us.
And yes. So, it's doing me head in. It goes to a full-size screen. I don't have anything on the left-hand side. And then you end up with all your chats in little columns so you can talk to other people, but you end up with them. Oh, it's doing me head in.
Frustrating, isn't it?
I might go back to 4.2. I did that the other week when I had that PC problem.
Mine's all right. It's you lot.
Yes, because your Mac was like 4,000 years out of date. In fact, it is. Your Mac one looks so bad compared to the PC one. In fact, I think, and I can't see it because of the stupid way Skype is, your tagline is something still like, ooh, I've got such and such beta.
Yeah, I have. I've not changed it. Right, anyway, we're not talking about Skype because this is not the Skype Brit podcast.
Car parks and Magic Kingdom was important, I felt.
That's where we started off, and then you mentioned Skype.
I was trying to be like Disney personage. Like someone will go, ooh, he should be a Disney mum. And I'm not. I'm a Disney's mum's friend.
Anyway, I not have any problem with wearing pink, but the Disney dads or the Disney mum dads actually have blue shirts. I was looking today.
You should say you don't want blue, you want pink.
I want pink, yeah.
Philly pink.
Exactly. And can you ask them to embroider Disney Brit on the back?
No.
Gee.
Just a thought.
Free B Adam.
No. Yes.
Right, before...
I'd have Orlando Sky Radio on the back, thanks.
It's going to be like a walking advertising board, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you need to look into the contract if you get in to see whether there's any rules to say you can't embroider sponsors on your shirt and make money out of it.
I don't think it'd be allowed in the Disney Brit podcast when he gets in.
Yeah, bye.
Probably your mouse cast or anything like that, just not the Disney Brit one.
It's just us. The others are fine. Yeah.
Bye. Right,
should we do some news?
I suppose so.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Car parks have changed.
Which is the only time
I've actually come up with a bit of news and nobody cares.
Yeah, no, it's very good. Well,
and it wasn't in your news stuff. I thought
I love that news because that's actually got repercussions, Jazz, because they're going to have to change the spiel that Debbie's dream job for some reason is being the chat on the back of the trams. That's what she wants to do because she reckons she gets surprised all the day.
Fair cop, mate. She married you. Her expectations seem to be really low all the
time. That's true. But, you know, thank you. They have the old gag, you know, if you're looking for Mickey Mouse or whatever, that's in California. So they're not going to be able to do that anymore. Well, I suppose they can, but it wouldn't work with being mini.
It's still,
It's a good joke, that. Hang on, let me just write that one down. Let me switch my pen on. Yeah. There it is. Right, hang on. Say that again.
You've got to switch your pen on.
Yeah, it's one of those twisty pens.
You don't switch it on.
You twist it on.
It's electronic.
All right.
Say on. There you go. Does it by itself. Off. See? Anyway. Let's start off in Magic Kingdom, and we're going over to Tomorrowland. Not the car parks. No, we've left the car parks behind, and we're not going to see Mickey because he's in California.
To be honest, people are wandering around with the car parks going, I've got all these boxes and matches. I'm so confused where I'm parked now.
Well, there's one less match than there was before because someone decided to set Tomorrowland on fire.
No, they didn't.
Okay, but yeah.
You're never going to be Disney mom ever.
No, there was a report that came out that Tomorrowland had caught fire, or part of Tomorrowland had caught fire, and we followed this for most of the day yesterday. It turns out that someone had posted on Twitter at one point there were fire trucks were going down Main Street USA. An Astro Orbiter is ablaze in Tomorrowland. Well, the truth was, it wasn't ablaze at all. There was a very small fire that was electrical short and a power outage, which did set part of the Astro Orbiter alight. Basically, it was a bulb or a bulb casing that went in the rain and all that sort of stuff and just caught a few sparks. And they managed to put it out really, really quickly. But because of everything that happened, they closed off the whole of Tomorrowland for ages. Nobody could get in. Nobody knew what was going on, whether anybody was hurt, whether anyone was injured. But the truth is, it was all fine. They worked out what the actual fire risk was. They reopened all of the other attractions. As soon as they reopened Tomorrowland, Space Mountain went down. But then that reopened again, and everything is fine. Astro Orbiter, as far as we knew, had remained closed up until the point that we're recording this. But there's nothing too serious to worry about, and the rest of Tomorrowland has now reopened. So there you go. That's what's been going on over there. Fire at Tomorrowland, it wasn't really much of a fire. It was all quite small. But Disney have officially sort of said that it was a fire casing around one of the bulbs near one of the planets. But that's all good.
Which planet? Mars, because that's hot.
Uranus.
There's a fire in Uranus. That could have been dangerous.
Stop.
Singeing and everything. This is what you're going to have to cope with, Craig.
It's Uranus.
No.
Yeah, Uranus catching fire.
If that's a question that ever comes in from you two, I'll tell you. What would you do?
I'm going to send that into the mum's panel right now. Right, it's refreshing.
Don't
my
you
mind.
Dare mark it for Emma, she'll kill you.
Brilliant, I love that. So it is all fine, and the Magic Kingdom is still standing, so don't panic too much. Right, let's head over to Epcot, and it's the Food and Wine Festival, Joes.
Well, sorry, can you play a bit of hold music for a minute? Okay, Food and Wine Festival, which happens at Epcot. Now, if you're wondering when you go into Epcot which one it is, it's the one where the car parks haven't changed, they're still the same.
That's
so cool. If you're in the one which car parks have changed, you're in Magic Kingdom, and that's not where you want to be for Food and Wine, so you need to move yourself across. Also, if there's a fire on Uranus, then you're in the wrong park as well. So, when we go across to Epcot, now, I'm not really talking about Epcot Food and Wine here, I'm talking about the app.
You are, yeah, the mobile website.
So the title of the news was slightly lying.
Well, I just said that Food and Wine was going on. I didn't particularly lie on that one.
Okay, there's an app, which I didn't know about till yesterday. And Adam said there's an app, and it was like, ooh, and we were with Michelle as well, because we were, like, partying down. And Michelle looked at it straight away, didn't she? She went straight on the phone, had a look at it, and she was very impressed, because the app lets you actually, A, you can see all the pavilions there, like Portugal, Scandinavia, Singapore, South Africa, South Korea, Greece, Sweden, Istanbul, all the famous pavilions that are there. They all have their own foods. But you can actually see recipes. This is what I was trying to get to. The fact the most important bit is the recipe bit. So you can't get this on the website, as Adam told me yesterday, because he's so wise. Yet he didn't know about the car parks changing. But what you can do is you can actually go on this and you can actually go through it and you can actually get full recipes, find out exactly how to cook things and make them. And from my point of view, although a bit geekish, who's typing?
No one.
Someone's typing and not paying attention.
No one's typing.
Who is typing?
Well, I'm not typing anymore.
It's Kira Gedford. There you go.
Oh
no,
child.
Because that was a double-handed type and that can't be Kieran. He's only got one hand.
No, for listeners who are listening, he hasn't really got one hand. He has got two. It's just one of
them. He's got one hand and a claw.
Yeah. He is
a hook.
Bless him. Like thanks for that. Carry on.
So anyway, I think from my point of view, you can go, right, you can see all the pavilions, which Istanbul isn't one, and nor's Greece, because Greece can't afford the fare to have its own pavilion. You can see all the bands that are playing, people like Taylor Dane, he's a great artist, Starship, Billy Ocean, Sugar Ray, and what's the fella, the British one?
Boys to Men.
Billy Ocean. Yes, they are there. Boys to Men are there towards the end. I was thinking of the other fella I wouldn't mind seeing.
John Sudarka.
No. Oh, come on, Adam. British artist of the 80s.
Oh, Howard Jones.
Howard Jones, yes.
Oh, that's the one.
It's quite fooling because you're small enough to put in your pocket and carry around with you.
So is this the Disney app, Chaz?
Yeah, I'm coming to
it's
that,
not
yeah.
an app, it's just a website,
Website, so it's a mobile website. But then the main thing is you can actually go and actually see all the events. But the main thing is you can actually go see all the recipes and how you cook it. And I'm into that. We discussed this yesterday. And what I want to do is I want to start doing some of the recipes and stuff. And you did the Paolo's chocolate
souffle, yeah.
Souffle. And I think, I don't know, perhaps we should take it in terms of having to go at one recipe and then post it on Disney Bit.
That's a good idea. See, I the like
Disney
that.
Bit, waffles.
Disney Bit. Yeah, well, I've got, yeah, but that's easy because I've got Mickey Waffle Maker.
That's just cheating.
But I think we should do that. I think we should have a go each at different recipe and then come back and say whether we think they were hard, easy, or whatever, out of one of those Disney recipe books that's on online but you don't have to buy the book for. So I always look at the books and go, I wouldn't mind that. You think, well, why bother? Because I think there's a Disney food site somewhere which has it all listed anyway.
So that, and also, you can just go into the restaurants and ask for a copy of the recipe anyway. So if you eat something... Yeah, if you're in a restaurant and you try something that you really like... see that? Stick that in your
I didn't know that.
Disney one. Yeah, if you just ask, is there any chance you can have a copy of the recipe, they'll give you a copy of the recipe.
Well, can we get some people going out there to do that everywhere for us?
Yeah, let's see, why not?
Just print a book.
So while you're out there, you go to every restaurant, just go, look, I'm not here to buy it, but I quite liked it last time, so have the recipe.
Yeah, they do. They'll give you copies of the recipes, things like that.
And do you think I can have it as a PDF?
With a forward, please.
Plus, you can get a lot of them online anyway. The Paolo
one. Email it to recipes@disneybrit.com.
Yeah, please. The Paolo one I got was just off the Disney Cruise website. I just searched for Paolo's chocolate souffle and I found the sort of recipe straight away. Only downside for us, I suppose, is the fact that it's in cups and that sort of stuff, but it's fair.
I've got all the cups here, though. I've got measurements because I was sick
Nigella
of
cups.
Because you do it. Oh, want to say so much, mustn't say. Bite no. lip. Anyway, because you do a lot of it. Because then you rush back to PC and go, what's a cup? And they go, okay. And the next time, what's a cup?
You just put them out, wouldn't I? Don't you? Just a little press. That's what we've got in the drawer.
Right, I'm gonna do a recipe. I've not decided what I'm gonna do next.
And we can all choose now for Joe's what he's gonna do.
What's my fancy doing? It's gotta be safe.
He's gotta make us the Le Cellier soup.
I was thinking the soup. To be honest with you, I think I might do the soup.
Then he could send it out.
Because basically that's just water and a pack of cheddar cheese, isn't it? And then stir it.
Yeah, might be a little bit more than that.
And in your waffle maker. In the waffle maker.
With some bacon bits. Job done.
Oh, bacon bits, potato salad is cool though.
Was nice. Anyway. So I can't find the site though. Because can you only do it on a
mobile? If you do it on your computer, it takes you straight to the Facebook page.
Well, that's what I find really bizarre is the fact that this is what to me is an absolutely awesome little site. Yet it's only mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it?
Probably works on your iPad as well, does it?
Do you know what? I've not tried it on the.
We'll try it on your iPad and see what happens.
I won't do it right now, but yes, I will try.
Why can't you do it now?
Because I haven't got the iPad with me.
Zoe's got your iPad.
See, if I go off to go and get the iPad and leave you two for a few seconds to talk, goodness knows what's going to happen. So
you can do. You can trust us because it's his news next.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'll trust you to go. I'll hand over the news to Craig and I'll go and find the iPad. I shall return in a second.
Cool.
Craig.
Okay. Right. So my next news is because obviously I'm going to be a mum's panelist for maybe a year or two, and then I'm going to step into the role that Bob Iger's stepping down from. So it's all actually. Just it's panning out just as we've kind of been planning it, to be honest with you. And then I can promote you to take over and jobs are good. So to tell exactly what's happening, I'm not going to become the new chief executive. I wouldn't mind. But Walt Disney Co. have announced, because they have to do these sorts of things, that chief executive Robert Iger, I suppose they have to be official, will step down as CEO in 2015. Now, he's currently 60. He will add the additional title of chairman to the board in March 2012, and then he will remain executive chairman until 2016, where he will retire from Disney altogether at the age of 65 with a nice large pension and a free fast pass. Now,
do you get a free fast pass?
I reckon he does. Now, the interesting thing about this, though, is that, that Bob, we'll call him Bob because basically we have him in the family.
When you're a mom's panelist, that's what you'd be allowed to call him.
Probably just be
Uncle Bob. I think. Bob's your uncle. He'll be able to. He's been grooming a couple of people to kind of take over.
I don't think he's allowed to say that.
I'm not convinced you're allowed
to. Is that why he's been asked to leave?
Yeah, that's what it says on DisneyBrit.com. That's why it closes down. So, you know, Adam reckons that he's got this sussed who's gonna move who. But, you know, we've seen in lots of the news items, actually, you know, Dan Cockrell, Rylus Carter, all of those kind of the high-flying VPs being swapped around to try different roles. Meg Crofton's been moved into different positions. You know, our mate Staggs is being moved around. So, you know, Adam's got this sussed, reckons he's going to win a fortune on a bet. But, you know, it's interesting to see that they've announced this now. I didn't think there was any need to do this now. I know that they're, you know, a listed company and they have to make announcements to the stock. The board wasn't due to be re-elected, I don't think. And obviously there's now going to be a vacancy because of poor Steve Jobs. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Now, you know, a bit of history. Iger took over when, Jazz? 2005.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Following the lovely battle between Eisner and Mr. Roy E. Disney, nephew of Walt. So there you go. So Adam, come on, you might as well tell us who's going to take over, apart from me.
Well, when I finish, it's going to be Tom Staggs will take over for the basically CEO of the entire company.
So is he giving up his chili making business then?
Hey,
no, that's stag chili. I used to like that. Okay.
Sorry. I always puzzled the fact they made chili.
I forgot to mention his salary is only $2.5 million plus $12 million in bonus.
Well, that's dropped.
Yeah, I'll do it for half that. I mean, I've already saved him some money.
I'll do it for a quarter.
My prediction is that Tom Staggs will take over as CEO of the entire company, and then that will leave the space of the president of the Disney Parks and Resorts empty, which will then move to Meg Crofton. I think she'll be boosted up. She's just been around so long in the position she's in. I was surprised if she doesn't get moved up, get boosted up to there.
She's like an actress, doesn't she?
Meg Crofton, yes.
what about Thingamajig's son, Dan?
Dan Cockrell.
Why is he winning?
He's now Hollywood Studios, isn't he? Is that right?
He is.
Well,
yeah,
why can't he be top dog?
He's not been in the management position as long as people like Crofton has.
Could we vote?
No.
I could if I got Steve Jobs shares.
You could.
I've emailed Apple and asked if it can happen.
The chances are you're not going to get them. Just to let you know, yes, the mobile site does work on the iPad.
No, we didn't really care.
Oh, okay. But just so you know, it does. So that's all good. And there's some really good stuff on there. Some videos on there for different things. Jerk Spice Chicken. Get an entire video on the jerk spice chicken as how to make it, as well as the ingredients, that sort of stuff, which is cool. So there are a few recipes on there which I like, so that all works really well. Anyway, I was completely off the topic you were talking about, but you asked me to find out, so I did.
Thank you.
But talking about the iPad, there is a great new product coming out for Christmas, of which your kids are going to want to get hold of. I want to get hold of this. I saw these only recently. I haven't had a chance to play on them yet, but it's called the Disney App Mates. And what they are is they turn your iPad into a mat of which you can use cars on, and you can buy at between $12.99 and $19.99 these packs of cars, of which you put your fingers on the windows on either side, and they act almost like a conductor, and then you put the car on top of the iPad, and when you drive the car around, it moves around this virtual world that's on the iPad like it's a car mat, and you can do all sorts of tricks and play all sorts of games and all sorts of those sort of things. I know there's certainly a Lightning McQueen, there's a Mater, there's a Sally, there's all those sort of things that you can buy, and you buy the toy, you get the iPad app free as a download. You're all right. Somebody got problems.
Sorry, I had to write a post-it note to take the rubbish out.
I thought it was taking a plaster off. I was waiting for that. Coming, Kieran. Come here, I'll take your cast off.
If I don't do the bins, I'll be in the doghouse. I thought I forgot to put that on my screen. There we go.
He's not a very good husband, is he?
He's a damn good husband.
Thank you, darling.
Don't mention it. Civil ceremonies go.
Come move along, Adam. I've got video to
be saying. These are now available, though. They're going to be a big seller for Christmas. There's no doubt about that. So the app is already available on the iPad, and you can actually play without the cars themselves. But if you go over to DisneyBrit.com and search for the AppMates article, you'll find a video on there that shows you exactly how it works. It does look amazing. So please do give it a go. Yeah.
All Can right. I just say, yes. I don't understand why it's cars is so... Why they push cars so much. It really wasn't on the best.
I think it has a big appeal for boys, though, doesn't it? One of the most boy-centred films they've brought out for a long time, I think. And that'll probably be the...
I think he's got some really good characters. I think Mater and Lightning are good. I like it. Yeah.
So it's just me, then?
Just you. Yeah.
You haven't seen Ratatouille yet?
I haven't seen Cars 2, yeah.
Well, that's quite good.
But it just doesn't... I don't know, it's just Cars... I don't know, it doesn't seem right. I know it sounds strange. Animals talking, that's fine. Cars talking, well, it's a bit weird.
No, I get it. No, I do like it as well.
Okay. Just me, then.
Just so you know as well, I think it only works with the iPad 2. That's rubbish. I've only just learnt that.
Hang on, you haven't got an iPad 2?
No.
That's early made my night.
Oh, that's rubbish if that is true.
And you get it free with an iPad 3, Jazz, when you get those.
Yeah, however. Anyway, I'm upset iPad now. I don't want to talk about that anymore. It's rubbish. Right.
You brought it up, mate.
Let's jump on a plane and fly all the way over to Disneyland Paris. And rumours of a good old Disney classic feature coming over to Disneyland Paris, Jazz.
Yeah, they're bringing out loads of new Disney classic features on iPad 2s only. yeah, well, there's two things. A, you had a room... Let me just double check you're not doing that all the way. A, you had a room about stupid Duffy coming across.
Yeah.
I just think, hopefully, with any luck, they put him in a pedalo and he'll sink halfway across the Atlantic. But Duffy is meant to be coming across. Oh, I hate Duffy. And PhotoPass, which I think is probably a good idea. Well, A, I think it's a good idea. I like PhotoPass. It lets you collect them. You come home, you look at the pictures, go, oh, they're lovely. I'll spend $400 on a CD. But my main concern is I know that the price will be expensive because they'll probably go, oh, $99 for a CD over there. Let's make it €99 over here. There'll be no comparison when they move it across. So, yes, I think it's a brilliant idea if it comes off. It shouldn't happen ages ago. Downside, I think that it's going to be very, very expensive. Sorry, you're not going to say yes, I totally agree.
No, I do agree. I do agree with you.
It's going to be silly money, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. Well, we always, like you say, we already look at the expense that it can be for the whole CD in America and with the exchange rate of everything. I think, how much did you say Duffy's? Someone, was it you, Craig, that said Duffy's were ridiculously expensive in Disneyland Paris?
I wouldn't care.
Who was
to
it
be
who
honest?
Told me that a Duffy...
I told you today that Kindles are $89 in America and £89 over here. I did tell you that.
To do what we're talking about, but
Duffy had a Kindle. That's why he bought it up.
Duffy, from what somebody told me this week, that a Duffy bear that they found in Disneyland Paris for €60.
No way.
Yeah.
How big was it? Huge.
I don't know. I don't think it was anything. It was just.
6 inch.
Yeah, it's just 3 inch for animation. No, but yeah, the photo passes with the exchange rate are going to be ridiculous. They're going to be so expensive. It's untrue. But I kind of like the idea. I like the idea of finally having that photo pass and not having that piece of paper. We've done it so many times that we've been to see Mickey or whatever and had photos, and then you get given your piece of paper and you walk off and you're on the way back to the hotel and you suddenly realise that you forgot to look at the photo. And if you really want one, you have to turn around and go back. Whereas at least if you've got photo pass, you've got that opportunity to have a look when you get home. So I suppose that's an advantage.
No, the disadvantage for that is there's no pressure to buy it from Disney's point of view.
No, that's also true.
I don't know. I just think it's... You've got to be really careful at the moment because, you know, we are not doing well financially. Things aren't going to get better and the price has gone up at Disneyland Paris. I think this is going to be one of their worst years, to be honest.
If they're not careful, you know, we still don't know anything that's going on with the 20th anniversary. We're still trying to find out about that.
We'll find out afterwards, mate.
Yeah, probably.
It's got to be better than the 40th anniversary.
Well, yes, that was a little bit of a disappointment, which is one of the reasons why I didn't really include it in the news this time, for the fact that it wasn't, you know, overly exciting.
I know, I'm just trying to sound like I'm a Disney person.
No, you are a Disney person. Huh. Very good. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
You knew about it, which is very good. Anyway, let's see the photo passes behind and let's move on to a new attraction at Fantasyland. Craig.
Right. Princess Pavilion has opened up, and I've got to say, whilst the pavilion itself looks rather lovely, the sign or plaque outside looks like somebody's printed a piece of paper and stuck it onto a bit of pink painted board. It looks pretty naff, to be honest with you. So I don't know if anybody agrees that's had a look at it. So, you know, the story is that a couple of days ago, or maybe even longer, depending on when this actually comes out, because last time, Adam threw us by releasing it on Tuesday when it was supposed to be a Wednesday and recording it on a Monday. So I don't really know where I am. I think I might need a DeLorean to work this out. But the Princess Pavilion opened up in Fantasyland. It had an official opening ceremony featuring all different princesses. They're all there. They all look stunning. There's some lovely little children dressed up as well. It looks very lovely. They then unveiled the plaque, and the best thing about the plaque was, I think, the lovely blanket that covered it, because the plaque itself doesn't look very nice. But then you go on, and you really need to, guys, I know this is one, we need one of these enhanced podcasts where you need to put pictures in, Adam. You need to look inside the pavilion, because it looks amazing. There's some one much better plaques and some much better window, kind of stained glass window effects, some wonderful little roses, glass slippers. It just looks lovely. So I'm sure the little girls and the little French princesses are going to love it. The only other thing about the plaques is some of them are in French.
Je ne sais pas.
Yeah, how dare they?
It does look cool, though, on the inside.
It's very well done.
It is. You think about what it used to be.
Yeah.
That used to be that really naff post show for It's a Small World, and suddenly they've turned into this entire princess style.
I love that post show.
Did you really?
Yes.
I never really got into it. I was always sort of like, you know, I don't, can't be bothered, I don't want to, I don't really like it, I don't really enjoy it, and we never went through it. It was just all a bit rubbish. But I don't know. It's, I like the fact that we've got the princess thing now. They've got a permanent place for meet and greet, which is great. The opening day, and bearing in mind this was opening day, it was a 2-hour queue to go and see all of these different princesses in there. And it does seem, although they've obviously incorporated a theme queue and all that sort of stuff, there's nothing interactive in there. If you've got a young person, a young child who's going to be queuing for 2 hours to see the princesses, they're not going to be overly happy about it. But also, at the same time, you know, it looks quite cramped, the queuing area and the queuing space. It looks reasonably dark as well.
It's quite small, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not particularly massive. And obviously they have to use the structure that's already there for it. But it's kind of a bit of a shame, really.
Would it not be quicker if just like you had like a Disney High Princess High Five, where as they come out, all the interaction is that the kids can just high five the Disney princess, and that way the queue would move really quickly.
That's true.
Don't really talk to them, just go high five, yeah, or just run past. Just my idea.
That's a very good idea.
Okay.
Maybe not. Right, okay, so there we go. That's the new Princess Meet and Greet that's opened over at Disneyland Paris. And finally, Justin's already alluded to this, about Duffy heading to Paris. And
oh, was that part of the news? I missed that.
That's all right. We have talked about this, and we did sort of rumour about this a little while back, that he could possibly be coming. There was then talk again that he could possibly be around for the Christmas season. Is he going to start to appear? We understand that some of the Duffy teddy bears have begun to appear in the parks as well. And at the beginning of October, Disney have it also included a Duffy the Disney Bear pin for the first time at Disneyland Paris that's going to arrive. It seems that Duffy is definitely on his way, and it seems that he's going to be appearing in from sort of properly from December. He has appeared every sort of for there was a big character thing that happened a couple of months ago. He was there dressed in his French beret. He has apparently been spotted at the Disneyland Hotel, but he is expected to arrive December 2011. It's going to be part of the Christmas parade, we believe, the Dreams of Christmas parade. And he's expected to stay until the very least April 2013, because they're expecting him to be there during the 20th anniversary. So April 2013... will be the time that Duffy's possibly going to be leaving. He'll be obviously in the parks, he'll have meet and greets. There's talk that he's going to have an area on Main Street USA in which guests are going to be able to go and see him. If you know where the boarding house is on Main Street in Disneyland Paris, that's where he's expected to be doing his meet and greets. So it looks like Duffy's definitely on his way and definitely here to stay, and there's not a lot we're going to be able to do about it. He does seem to have taken the world by storm a little bit, do you not think, Joss?
But why? Everyone I speak to doesn't like him.
Yeah. No.
I've not met anyone who said, we like him or take my kids to him. So how's he doing so well? Someone must be going to him.
Well, you would think so, you know, and obviously the people are buying him.
See, I find him the most un-Disney thing in the world. It even looks like a cheap teddy you'd buy on a carnival when you're trying to pick up a duck with a stick and you've lost. And they go, what do you want? And you go, oh, I'll have that cruddy bear there.
Yeah, that's true. But there was a bit of news that came out today that he's going to be... They've got a new storybook that's going to be coming out in the middle of October with the whole story about Mickey and all that sort of stuff with Duffy. So he obviously has proven to be popular.
Is he actually in the show? Does he do any CGI stuff in front of them?
No, nothing at all. But there is talk that he's going to be getting his own cartoon series, which I think will air on the in-room televisions in the resort in Disney World.
And it was originally for Japan or somewhere, wasn't it?
Well, he was originally created as a bear that belonged to Mickey, and he came in a duffel bag, the reason he's called Duffy. And then they took him over to, I think it was Japan, and they went mental for him. They absolutely loved him, and he was a massive, massive thing out there. And then they sort of started to spread it around the rest of Asia, ended up in America, became quite popular in Epcot, has become popular in California Adventure, and have now at the point where they're going to begin to roll it out in Europe as well, and we'll kind of see whether he ends up appearing in Disney stores and all that sort of stuff. But the book's certainly on its way out very soon.
It's funny, isn't it? Because it's like Universal had to get the license, especially for Snoopy, didn't they?
Yes, I think they did. Think
because right. of the fact that that's the kind of characters they like out there, so they had to go out of the way and actually get a license for the only one park to actually have it in. So it's a bit. But to be honest with you, I think really the story was Mickey tried to put him in a duffel bag and chuck him over the side of the boat. And like that film in Jumanji, he had just appeared again somewhere else.
Yes.
Jumanji when they chucked the board game. Blah, 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 blah. But Jumanji?
Jumanji. Jumanji, yeah. I remember the board game, yeah.
I just don't like him. Please, can you not do a poll thing on Facebook?
We could. About whether or not
people or Disney like bit, who likes it?
I suppose we could do that. Who really likes Duffy?
And who thinks he's a commercialised monster?
Well, he is a commercialised monster, but unfortunately there are a lot of people, I think, who do like him.
I don't think there's anyone who likes him.
I think you think it's all a myth and all a lie.
Yeah, I think Tom Staggs are buying it to make him look good so he can get the new job.
Lots and lots and lots.
He's exchanging his chilli for Duffy bears.
Okay, that's what's happening.
Craig's gone, hasn't he?
Craig's gone, he's never coming back.
He's gone to be at Disney. What should we do, interviews for other podcasts?
Do you reckon is that where he's gone? Well, anyway, yeah. That's all of our news. So we're going to move on to our next segment, which is we're bringing back Around the World in 80 Segments. We're heading back over to Epcot.
I didn't do my woohoo.
Do you woohoo now?
Woohoo!
With every sun that comes up, comes the question, where to go out on this town? Downtown Disney. It's like hitting the hot spots of every happening city on the planet. Restaurants you've read about. Shops you've dreamed about. Clubs that cut your curiosity loose. Downtown Disney. In a city of choices, the metropolis of fun.
Through time and space, together we race to brave new worlds across the universe.
It's time to go back around the world in 80 segments, and we're heading back over to Juz's favourite park, Epcot, where we're going to be taking a leisurely stroll around Future World. And the last time out with this, we took a walk through Spaceship Earth. We also took a walk through the entrance area and the Universe of Energy. Today, we're going to continue our wander around that part of Future World, and then we're going to cross over to the other side just to finish off. So we're starting off at Mission Space this week.
Horizon.
Yes, the Horizon.
Do you want to know an interesting fact?
Go on.
Epcot's car parks haven't changed.
Epcot's car parks haven't changed. Why have some of the car parks changed? Just?
Yes, over at Magic Kingdom. That renamed them for all the Disney mums. So I park in Dunks.
That means
they've also renamed it for all the planets that got caught fire. So sometimes I park in Uranus.
Boom, boom.
So immature. And apparently that. But if they've changed the parking, that means that Debs can't say that line that she would love to in her dream job.
No. Yeah, okay, whatever.
It's a bit deja vu. So we're heading over to Mission Space, and this is a great attraction. I love Mission Space, but there's a lot of people who don't. But just to tell you a little bit more about it, Fast Pass are available for this attraction, although most of the time you don't usually need them. There is a minimum height requirement, but that also means you can have rider switch. There's video captioning. You must move from an ECV or wheelchair to ride the attraction. It's just over 5.5 minutes long, 4 people per vehicle. Maximum capacity per attraction is 40 people. But let's find out what we think about this particular attraction. Craig, do you want to start us off?
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. I like it. I don't like the intense version. I really think it makes me feel quite dizzy, and it may just be because I'm old. And I actually, you know, I go on it probably every time I go in the park, and I'll go on the less intense version. And I don't really think that I'm missing out on doing the less intense version. You know, I think I've never been in a space capsule, so I don't really know what they're like, but it feels very real. I think, you know, the kind of story behind it is believable. You know, I think the queue line is pretty cool. There's quite a lot I do like about it. I just don't understand the intensity of it. I'm not sure that bit's actually needed. You could probably do away with that altogether and just have the normal one.
Okay, so you're saying just keep the orange, no, the green rather than the orange.
Yeah, just. I get confused. I just say to her, I don't want to be sick, and she gives me the right list.
Jez?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. I say forget the namby-pamby one. I like to be spun round at super high speed, feel sick, get the full G's, and pretend I'm a real astronaut.
You see, I'm with Juz on this one. I really like...
What do I know? You're taking the bins out. You have no choice.
I like the faster version, the original, which is the orange version. And I've only been able to ride it a couple of times because Zoe has read the high blood pressure thing and every time panics. So she's sort of never read the orange version with me. We always go on the green version. Having ridden both the orange and the green, I find very little difference between the two. Now, that might just be me.
I think you feel it in the G's.
Yeah, probably the G's.
You still get the feeling in the less intense one.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the same G-force.
Oh, no, not the same, Jazzy Bear. No, not the same. Your mouth doesn't go like you're riding a sidecar. You know, you're like Wallace and Gromit.
Great analogy, Wallace and Gromit. Yeah.
I love that.
They should change it, just call it Wallace and Gromit ride.
The Wallace and Gromit ride. That'd be great. I just don't know. I find it this again, it may just be me, but I find it very difficult to feel the difference between the two.
I don't know, probably because you're podgy and the fat doesn't move as much.
Do you reckon that's what it is?
To me, I ride it because it makes me look super thin. The people next to me just get covered in my fat. I'm just normal size.
Nice.
It's like when you lie down, you look thinner than you really are. But until you look side to side.
We need to discuss about who this is applicable for.
Babies, definitely.
Babies, yeah.
Because you get like a car booster seat. You just plug them in, like you're doing your back of your car. Yeah.
Babies, definitely not. Toddlers, no. Preteens.
Hell aye. Can I just point out that...
Close to sort of 11, 12-year-olds.
Can I just say, you know... The deaths that have occurred on this have always been for pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, and that's why Disney put so many things in place.
Yeah, it's incredibly sad that they happen. And it's also incredibly sad that children sometimes die on a football pitch and stuff like that, or we don't know what's going to happen, you know. And that's what you have to bear in mind. And, you know, it's not scaremongering, but, you know, if your kid does suffer from, let's say, asthma or something like that, I wouldn't take them on because it could invoke an attack. So be very aware of your kids, you know. So perhaps people do feel better, and I think you probably see the cues more of more of teenagers and families rather than the preteens that you used to see there.
It's true. You've also got to take into account that Disney aren't going to put an attraction in a park that is dangerous to people. That is going to cause serious harm to people. You know, they're not that stupid.
I mean, you get the same G's that you do on Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah, you do, but it's more constant on this than what you get on Rock and Roller Coaster because it's more constant. You feel it a lot more. But I've never had a problem with this at all, going on this attraction, the orange version. It's been absolutely fine. But they have put all of those safety things in place, even when you go into the orange or the green and get given a card with all of these health and safety things on there, because there's been so much scaremongering among people about how terrible it must be. And, you know, some people won't ride it for, you know, my wife suffers with high blood pressure, but she takes tablets for it. But yet, she still won't ride the orange version because she's still scared to death.
And this is after days of you hiding her tablets. I just don't understand it.
So, I find it difficult to tell the difference between the two. But again, that's just me. But if you are going to, or if you don't want to ride it, there is another area that you can enjoy, which is the Mission Space Advanced Training Lab. Now, has anybody actually been in here?
Like, is that a bit afterwards?
Yes.
You play games? Yeah, no, mine have done that.
Yeah, right. my lot have always gone up and played on that.
We kind of just walk through it. We don't really stop. No, actually, we do stop. We stop for one thing. We stop to try on the silly spaceman helmet, take a photo, put them back, and then walk out. And that's pretty much about it, which I think a lot of people do. But I need to sort of hear your opinion on this place, because we don't really stop for it at all.
My kids and Trace always go up and play the games. There's nobody, because there's not always a queue there, and they'll always have a go of a game. I don't tend to. I tend to be the one who takes the photos of them. But, yeah, they have great fun with it. I think it's a great idea.
Because you've got the Mission Space Race, which is the big interactive
game. Yeah, that's what we play.
It's kind of like, think of the setup similar to something like the pinball game in a Disney Quest, except for you don't obviously move your body around like you do in that particular game. You're facing big screens and you're all playing that particular game. That's quite popular, I think, usually. You've got the Expedition Mars, which is like a joystick and jetpack button. You're on the exploring the surface of Mars, trying all those things. You've got the postcards from space, where you can create an email and you can send those. It's got a space
and thing. Everyone's got to do that,
yeah,
just to annoy somebody who's not there with you.
But the one other thing that is there that I think people do miss out on is the space base area, which is basically an indoor interactive play area for kids who are too young to go on Mission Space. And it's great because it's indoors. And also it keeps the kids entertained while the parents are going off and they do ride swap or whatever. It's a little bit like the one that you get, the briar patch that you get underneath Space Mountain Splash Mountain, where the kids can go and play and stay out of the heat while the parents go and ride the attractions that they aren't necessarily old enough for. So that's pretty good for younger children, certainly. What are we giving this, then? Out of five, what are you giving? Well, you can give one out of five for the orange and the green version if you want to. Craig, start us off.
Well, my kids like it. Alex prefers the scary one because she's hard. Kieran's too little for it. So I'd give the scary one 3 and the not scary one 4.
Okay.
No, 2 and 4. Two and four, actually.
What, for the scarier version, you're giving it a 2?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be scary. It's overkill.
Okay. Just.
As attraction as a whole, I'm going for a 4. I think it's a great attraction, very cleverly done from start to finish. Even the shop is nice with some of the characters they have in there. So a 4. I think there's a lot of thought gone into it. Nice attraction.
Okay, I'm going to give a 4 to the orange team version, and I'm going to give a 3 to the green team version because I just love the extra thrill that goes with it. I can't give it a 5 purely for the fact that Gareth Sinise is in the pre-show video and he's just a bit cheesy all the way through.
I like him in it.
Cheesy.
No, I like him. I think he comes across
really
well. Yeah.
And the other reason I'm not going to give it a 5 is because they build up the whole of the beginning. You have the Gary Sinise pre-show about pilots, you're going to do this, blah, 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 blah. And then sometimes the cast members sort of just like stand you there and then they take you through before that pre-show bit finishes. And it's almost like they're trying to rush you through the pre-show before it sort of has finished and everything's complete, which does annoy me a little bit because it's the whole idea of the story and they're sort of ruining the story by doing that.
Never had that.
Have you not? Yeah. No. I've had it where they've sort of lined you up and you...
Perhaps it's because they don't want you there.
Probably. Trying to get rid of me as quick as they can.
Oh. Can I just say that if you ever go through the Iron Orlando feed, there's a fantastic show that was done on Mission
there
Space.
There is. Yeah, do go and check that out. It was actually a very good show. I'll give him that. It was quite
Thank
good.
You.
right, so that is Mission Space. And if we head around a little bit further, we're heading over to Test Track, which is both the longest and the fastest attraction in the whole of Walt Disney World. Again, Fastpass is available. Certainly going to need it for this attraction. There's also a single rider queue. Height requirement, again, needed. There's vision, the video captioning, assistive listening, and you must be able to transfer from a wheelchair or ECV for this. Each of the ride vehicles, even though they've been updated recently, are 6 in their capacity, 3 in the front, 3 at the back. The actual length of the attraction, 4,286 feet, pretty long. 1,306.4 metres, so about 1.3 kilometres. And maximum speed for the attraction, 65 miles an hour it can get up to when you're doing that outside bank. It's just this is one of my favourite sort of Epcot attractions, I think. Agreements with anybody else, or?
Well, to be fair, there's not a huge choice, but yeah.
What about Soarin' and Spaceship Earth? And
yeah, there's still not a huge choice. Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
Now, question, go on.
Go on. No, go on. Okay, all right. Okay, I'll go on. Oh, no, you go on. Hey, please, you. No, you. Very British. Des, what do you think of Test Track, were you? Good, there you go.
Get the bins taken out.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It's unique. It's like everything at Disney, isn't it? They do something different. You know, Terra Terra is a great example of that. Test Track is another great example of that. I think it appeals to both boys and girls, because boys love the car and, you know, all of it. A great kind of walkthrough to get to the ride. And I think the girls enjoy the thrill of it as well. And then, you know, the car showroom bit afterwards is a bit like walking around the NEC in the 1980s. I'm not too sure about that bit. But I think it's a very, very clever ride, actually. You know, it's a slightly bit educational, which I think is where it fits into Test Track quite well, fits into Epcot quite well. The outside bit is just phenomenal, especially when you've got nothing really to hold on to. You know, you just sit there and feel the speed. And I really, really like it. You know, the single rider is also a great addition, because, you know, even if the queues, and they can get up, as we know, to 2 and a bit hours, you can still go on it, and you've still got a place where you can meet your family safely afterwards in the car showroom.
And you often find that actually you could
end can I eat my club biscuit now?
You can end up sat with somebody.
You can end up sat with somebody
even if you're standing in a single rider. Didn't we end up in a car together, Craig, when we last went
in
a single rider? That was the day that we were both celebrating anniversaries, and we ran off to, we've got to tell you this story. We ran off to Soarin' to get the fast passes for everybody else, and Debs, Zoe and Craig's kids all ran off to Test Track to go on that straight away. And we'd got our congratulations, happy anniversary buttons on. And we arrived at Test Track, decided we'd do single ride, and we walked through the queue and got to the front. We both got our badges on, and this guy just turned around to us both and wished us both a very happy anniversary. And then nothing more was said of it afterwards. And it was just one of those uncomfortable moments of, do we say something, or do we just get on the ride and just leave it? We'll just leave it.
It was funny.
It was very funny.
You should have just hogged each other and said, yes, very happy.
But, single rider, sometimes you can be lucky enough to just...
Don't, you can't do better, you know.
He can't. He's tried. What's your opinion overall of Test Track, then, Jez?
It's super-y-dupery. I love it. I think it's brilliant. I think the outside bit should go on forever, though. Just not enough.
It should go around 3 or 4 times.
My only complaint is it does break down a lot. It should be called Universal Test Track. Because the failure rate is phenomenal, but you always get a free ticket. We had to walk out of it last time because it broke down.
But it is basically not switched off. It takes so long to start up and shut down. They pretty much just leave the attraction on.
But then it does break down.
And it does break down during the day.
So they do switch it off quite a lot, to be honest.
Just
with you.
Not on purpose. Now, interestingly, there's rumours about that come the summer next year, there's going to be a closure from somewhere around June, July time all the way up to December for Test Track. But nobody knows as to why. We've got some new vehicles that appeared recently. But any suggestions, any guesses, do you think, as to what might be happening with Test Track over those sort of 6 months or so?
They are replacing them with Priuses to make it more environmentally friendly look to it. And smart cars. And the Prius. They won't brake as well, and it will be dreadful on the ABS. And when you go outside, you just hum and do about 5 miles an hour right round it, but you'll be saving the environment, and that's all that matters.
Okay.
That's what I've been told from my contacts.
Okay, that's fine.
Or they're replacing it with a Top Gear Test Track.
Top Gear Test Track?
Yeah. That's what you're going to put there instead.
I just wonder whether cars are coming in, whether they're bringing in Mater,
whether
they're going to do something with it like that. With the timing of when Carsland opens and then the timing of this refurb, I just wonder whether that might be something they're considering.
Epcot's educational.
Well, no. But you can still do educational with the Cars character.
Oh, I'm not going to go on
that. Why do it there and not at Tomorrowland Speedway?
I'm open.
That's
yes.
where to put cars.
It needs it there.
So you wouldn't be happy if they decide to put...
No.
Right, okay, that's interesting.
Now, I wouldn't queue up for 2 hours to go on it. I'd go and wait outside Soarin' and not get
I don't think we're talking about necessarily gutting the entire attraction, It's sort of keeping the same theme, but including Cars characters.
No.
Still won't be happy about that.
I think they're going to have the Kiwi walk up, and then everyone's going to stop, and you have to wait for TARP funding to restart it all, and then you'll be allowed back onto it again with TARP funding, etc., and then it'll go on from there.
Okay. That's interesting.
It would do me head in. If I was deadly honest, mate, I just can't see it fitting with Cars, yet now you mention it, I have a horrible feeling it's probably an idea that they might be talking about. Would GM still want to sponsor?
I don't know. I've got no idea. I don't know. The GM sponsorship's always been a bit rocky anyway recently, hasn't it? What with their money issues and that sort of
thing. Oh, they're loaded again now.
It'll be sponsored by that Lightning Queen, but was it Reppies or whatever it is?
Ford is sponsoring Legoland now, so GM have to keep hold of their side.
Anyone want to buy a Focus?
No. Here's a question then. What sort of person are you? Are you the sort of person who rides test, who goes and gets a fast pass for Soarin' and then rides Test Track, or rides Soarin' and gets a fast pass for Test Track?
Fast pass for Soarin', then rides Test Track. Always incredibly annoyed because we're a family of five, so we always get a photograph with some stranger.
Yeah. Craig?
Fast pass for Soarin' plus ride Soarin', then go over to Test Track, and if I can't get on it, I'll just lie and get a ride switch and say Kieran's scared to go on it, and then the three of them go on it.
What kind of Disney mum are you?
I'm just giving you a tip.
Right. You see, it's funny because I'm the same. I'm a get a Soarin' fast pass and ride Test Track. Why is that? I don't understand why.
Because Soarin' has the longer queue, so you've got to get that fast pass.
And there's single rider. You can always, you know, do your 20-minute wait. There's no single rider for Soarin'.
And then you go to Mission Space, which is quite quick. So sorted.
Yeah, they're going to put Soarin' fast track fast pass on Soarin' when they do Soarin' over Pandora in Animal Kingdom.
That fast. Yeah, Bandora, I love it.
Copyright Matt Hotchberg for that one. I can't take the credit.
Oh, okay. Oh, you've just given it away now. I thought that was quite impressive, and then you've just given it to somebody else.
I think he gives credit where credit's due. Good on you.
Integrity. Well, that's what it's all about, mate.
That's what it is. Now it's Disney One Week. It is, anyway. You've got this car showroom area that you've already alluded to a second ago, which has almost become a shell of its former self, I suppose. It's nowhere near what it used to be. Is this a waste of space in the park? Do you think this could be used for something else, or do you think it's fine as it is?
I like it.
Craig?
Sorry, you like what?
Yeah, basically, car showroom in the middle. This is a shell of its former self. Do you still like that there, or is it...
The only good thing about it is it's a good place to meet if you've done a single rider, because you can say meet by the first car.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's a bit. I think it's kind of GM. We're going to sponsor it. We want a place to put cars in. I don't think it's got any value. Apart, everybody only stops at the Tom Petty whatever it is race NASCAR car and takes a picture there.
I sit in the cars and pretend I own them.
Yeah, everybody does that, and then everyone gets annoyed when somebody else sits in them as well.
They could do something else in there, though. You know, Mission Space, you've got a great kind of post-show. You've got all those interactive games. Why can't they do something there where you could, you know, have a car and a can of paint and spray yourself?
I've always thought you could split that in half. Half ride
Take
makers.
The wheels off.
Ride makers would fit perfectly in there.
Oh.
And half, like, you could have a giant scale electric track. And you could have, like, races on that.
Crash it.
That sort of stuff.
Get Segways awesome. In there, couldn't you?
You could get Segways in there. But,
or build a cliff, get a load of minis, see if you can hang them over the end, Italian job style. That'd be better.
That's got nothing to do with Test Track at all. You just pluck that from obscurity.
If Disney was, you know, Disney could whack in a load of driving simulator games and get you to pay $1 each to have a go on them.
Yeah, that would be a shame if they did that. I'm not.
Yeah, then it'd be a bit too much like Space Mountain, wouldn't it? No one goes in there afterwards.
Yeah, that's true. Power station next door. Right, let's head across to the side of World Showcase then, because we've done one side. We're now going over to the creative side. We're going to journey into Imagination with Figment. We're going to the Imagination Pavilion. Three elements to the Imagination Pavilion. We've got the Journey into Imagination with Figment, we've got Imageworks, and we've got Captain EO. So let's start off then with... we didn't do out of five for Test Track, did we? So let's just quickly, Craig, out of five Test
Five.
Track, are we giving it five? Juz?
Five.
Yeah, I'm going five as well.
No, four.
Four, okay.
So I don't know.
Okay, let's head over to the Imagination Pavilion.
Five.
Anyway. You're going five, right. Okay, Journey to Imagination with Figment. Craig, do we need to sit back and let you get in your soapbox for this one, or...
No, because I haven't done it in ages. I haven't done it in ages. I like Figment as a character, but I haven't done the attraction in ages. Okay. Because the last time I went to Epcot, I went to go to see Captain EO for a bit of nostalgia reasons, and I didn't get to go to that either because the queue for Test Track is always too long, or the queue for Soarin' is too long, and then you've got to have a little bit of something to eat, haven't you? And have a little wander around World Showcase, and your day's gone.
So you've not ridden it for a while then, so you're holding off judgment on that?
I'm going to abstain. I'm going to drink my tea, finish my club, and let you two rabbit it on for 10 minutes.
Fine. Juz.
I really like it. He's cute. And it's fun at the end as well, so it's all the bits to do there. So I would go, not go out of my way. I always try to ride it.
Yeah, I think we'll ride it if we're there. My biggest problem with this attraction is, you see, with things like Haunted Mansion, every time they've added something to the Haunted Mansion, it's made it better. Whereas I think about what Journey into Imagination used to be like years and years ago. You know, you had Figment and the Dreamfinder stood outside. You had the Rainbow Tunnel. You had really great interactive elements and all that sort of stuff as part of the image works. And it's like they've tried to reinvent Journey into Imagination, and each time they've reinvented it, it's just gradually got worse. Now, I'm not saying that the attraction now is terrible. I just, compared to what it has been, it's just nowhere near the same. And also that you go on it half the time, the effects aren't working, which is a bit rubbish. They've tried to tie it in with Nigel Channing and the Imagination Institute, which is all well and good, but I sort of yearn for the return of the Dreamfinder and of the Dream Machine and all that sort of stuff that used to be.
I don't. I like it as it is.
You like it as it is.
Yeah, I just think, do you know what, there's never a queue on it. I can wander up.
Well,
it's just
the
like
there is no, you know, no,
because sometimes it feels like a secret Disney ride. It sounds a bit silly, but it feels like, oh, I'm gonna go on this because, you know, people aren't around and we can go straight on it, and I don't know, I just like it. Sorry.
You like it, okay. So Craig, are you gonna give it an out of 5?
Nope.
Okay, cheers, out of 5.
I like Figment though.
Just gulped your tea.
I did, yeah,
yeah, sorry.
Really loud.
Oh,
just sound professional.
How common.
What are you giving it out
of 5? Oh, I don't know. Should go for a 3.
3, okay.
Yeah.
I'll go for a 2. I wish they'd have the originals, don't they? You can go on that.
Keep moving forward, Adam.
Yeah, keep moving forward, I know. But we've sort of moved forward by moving backwards. You can remain in a wheelchair for this attraction. Handheld captioning and attraction description is also available. So that's Imagination with Figment. Then we move into Image Works, which is the area at the end where you've got a lot of interactive stuff. Well, you had. There's a lot of it that seems to be behind walls and that sort of stuff as they were beginning to change it over. Some of the attractions you can enjoy. There was an area which had pictures on the floor. If you jumped on it, you heard the noise. You had one area where you could conduct for Figment. You had another area where you could create your own style Figment. And you also had some merchandise areas, including some funny photos. You could put your hand, dip your hand in that clay stuff and have a clay version of your hand and all that sort of thing as well. Image Works, is it the sort of place you would stop, or is it the sort of place you just walk through?
I said you go to Dunks for stuff and drinking and eating his club biscuit.
Yeah.
Is this the bit where they got the interactive floor you play shuffleboard on?
Yes.
Well, used to. I like that.
So there were some elements I really liked.
No, I like that. I think that's good fun. The only problem is I kind of have a, you know, doing all that stuff indoors when it's lovely Florida weather, and I kind of feel like I need to be outside.
Mm. That's true. But I do miss the old CD station where you can get your CDs made up of all the tracks that you'd heard in the parks.
Oh, I've done that before. I've got one.
I've got one as well. They used to have that inside Imageworks, and that's why I bought my first ever one in Imageworks, and it had all sorts of random stuff on it. And they don't do that anymore. It's a shame. I wish they'd bring that back. But do you stop in here, Joe, or is it something you walk through?
Do you know, I'll wander through it and we'll have a stop. But I'm probably ready with Craig. There's better things to do. You know, there's food to eat in World Showcase, so...
There is, and you're very close to World Showcase stuff there.
So I'd probably... You know, we go through. I really love Epcot, so I do try and enjoy all bits of it.
Mm.
Kids don't necessarily agree with me, but there you go.
I do think Imageworks is aimed towards a younger crowd.
Like me.
Like you, yes, exactly right. And not necessarily always. It's sort of just a little bit too old for Harry, and it's... A little bit, and they are obviously too old for it as well, so it's not quite the right age. But Yeah, we'll see what they do with it and what happens to it, and whether these big plans for changing Journey into Imagination ever come to fruition. Who knows? There's one other attraction in the Imagination Pavilion which we can talk about briefly, and the reason we can talk about it briefly is the fact that it might not be there for much longer. There is rumours that they're already talking about changing this and getting rid of it. It has been there over a year, and that is Captain EO, that has returned to the parks, was originally there in the mid-80s, disappeared, and came back after the death of Michael Jackson. Craig, start us off, Captain EO.
Captain EO is cool, although since it's been back, I must have been to Epcot 4 or 5 times and still never been to go and see it again. And so if they take it away before I go back again in October, I'm going to be very cross and throw my new pink polo shirt at them.
Oh, right.
I like it. No, look, there's issues with why they brought it back. You know, they should have brought it back just because it was good rather than brought it back because of what happened to MJ. Okay, so take that aside. You know, most expensive 4-minute film ever made or whatever it is. But
$24 million, I think it was.
Yeah, and change. You know, but I like it, and I think it has a place there. You know, you've got other rides that have stood the test of time. I think, you know, that one could stay there for a bit longer.
Okay. Cheers.
Refuse to comment on this.
You're not going to comment. Okay. I think I'm the only one out of the three of us who have actually seen it in the park since it's returned. And I was the same as Craig. It was like, oh, it's amazing. It is fantastic. It's really good. And it is still good. And I do really still enjoy it. Pre-show's a bit naff, which is the whole history about how it was made and that sort of stuff. And I remember it from when I was younger and seeing it for the first time as a kid and thinking, wow, it's amazing. It's Michael Jackson. And then I went to see it again the last trip. And I still enjoyed it, but it was not as good as I remembered it being. And obviously, you know, I watched it, I was like, that's quite cool. And I have seen it a few times, saw it over Disneyland Paris as well. And I was like, this is cool, this is Michael Jackson, and they've got the seats moving and all that sort of stuff. It's nice and loud. But it is dated, you know, you can tell it's made in the 80s. It looks like it's made in the 80s. It's not as good, anywhere near as good as I remember it being, but it was still enjoyable. Zoe saw it and she was like, what is this you brought me to? Because obviously she'd never been to Disney World when she was younger and she didn't really understand it, the sort of nostalgic element to it. She came out just going, oh, it's rubbish. What was that all about? It's just Michael Jackson in the 80s with lots of strange puppets and a really naff storyline. If you think about the storyline of Captain EO, it is terrible. It's probably the worst storyline as well as the most expensive film ever made, sort of minute for minute.
That's his only story.
Yeah, the story's just naff. It really is. But as a Disney fan, I still really enjoyed it. But I do understand why it can't really last forever. Because it's not the sort of thing that a lot of people are going to go and see and understand the reason it's there, the nostalgic point of view. I would be interested to see what they're going to do. Would you want Honey, I Shrunk the Audience to return?
No.
Yes.
You would?
Would you rather have that over Captain EO, Jesse Bear? Really?
I refuse to comment on Captain EO.
Okay.
So, yes.
Gosh. I don't... I've had... Honey, I Shrunk the Audience is more outdated now than Captain EO is, I think. We've not had a Honey, I Shrunk the Audience movie, Honey, I Shrunk whatever movie for years. Rick Moranis, you know, isn't around anymore. Nobody understands who he is.
I do.
Nigel Channing in there, obviously, is Eric Idle. He's not done anything again for years. And that's quite... The thing is, that was quite niche and it was fine to start off with. But it's too linked to an old Disney franchise that has died a death, and I think that needs to be changed. There's something new needs to be brought in. I'm not saying keep Captain EO. I'm also not saying bring back Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. I think we need something new, and I think rather than it being another 3D movie, I think Disney maybe need to think outside the box, and maybe this is the point where they're going to announce that they're going to completely gut the whole of Imagination Pavilion and come up with something new that we're going to be able to enjoy. I don't know. I've got no idea, but...
Honey, I Shrunk the Avatar.
You think that's what's coming next?
Yeah.
Only I Shrunk the Avatar. That would be different.
We've got to get the money's worth.
Yeah, well, they have. Yeah, they've spent enough on it. Okay, Craig, what are you giving Captain EO out of 5?
Ooh, I'm going to give it 3.5.
3.5. I'm going for 3. Just is refusing to comment, so we won't even ask him about that. Well, that's everything. That is all of the stuff that we're going to be looking at as part of our Around the World this week, which means it is the end of the show.
Hooray!
Thank you.
I mean, oh.
away. We can go home now. Thanks to Jez and Craig for joining me as always. Make sure you keep those emails coming in. You can make sure to email their questions, comments, and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com. We have had a couple of emails in recently with questions, which I've been holding on to. So
why are you still going?
Hey, what?
Why are you still going?
Well, I'm still going. Because we want to do a question show coming up soon. So if you've got any questions, please do email us, podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring our voicemail number, which is
407-545-7980.
And you can also check out disneybrit.com for all the latest news and rumours and everything that's going on in Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris, and videos and movies and all that sort of stuff. Check out our Facebook page, our Disney Brit fan page. You can friend up myself, Justin Craig, over on Facebook as well. Don't forget, as I've already mentioned, you can download the latest edition of Mouse Mag. Go to magcloud.com. Also, on the iPad, you can go to the MagCloud iPad app, download it free.
Is that iPad 1 and 2?
iPad 1 and 2, okay. Yes. I've had a reply, actually, from the Disney Store. Let me just very quickly tell you what they've said. We are sorry to hear about your experience. Your concern has been forwarded to management for review. We will follow up soon. There we go. Hey.
Well, at least that's personal and not automated.
At least that's personal and not automated at all. Also, you can leave us a review on iTunes. Thanks to all those people that are doing that. YouTube channel, Disney Brit Podcast. Find us on YouTube. And also, don't forget our sister podcast, Eye on Orlando. You can find us every week talking about all the other stuff as well as Disney. And that's pretty much it. Discot.net. Don't forget, go over there. Go and check out
Discot. Craig's always there. I'm always there. Adam's.
Discord.net is our Disney social media for all those Disney fans. You can over enjoy those, and that's everything. And all it leaves me to tell you now is the next show will be out on Wednesday, the 26th of October. So until then, we'll see you.